Good morning. Today, let's make today the day that we change our habits, that if it's been the custom to greet the pastor and then reflexively grab the coat and head out the front door, let's make today the day that we change our habits and that we determine that we will spend not just 1 hour a week honoring God, but 2 hours. Let's double our commitment to God. Let's get into a Bible study group. And let's make the determination that we will become a closer friend of Jesus. Let's take a look at John chapter 15 and what Jesus has to say about friendship. John 15, this is on page 1677. Page 1677, John 15. Verse 15 is what I'd like for us to focus on. Jesus is talking to his followers, his close-knit group of men that have spent 3 years of their lives with him, and he says this, "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." You can really tell whether an individual is a close friend or not by how well they know you. Isn't that the truth? Somebody who's just a casual acquaintance or an individual who barely knows you, it becomes evident very quickly that they don't know your mind, because they can make tremendous mistakes in trying to, you know, give an impression as though they're close friends when they're really not. A good example of this is how your name is pronounced. You know, your last name, sometimes it's kind of tricky. Some of us have real easy names like Smith or Jones or something, you know, and no one's going to mess up on that. But for some of us, our last names are a little bit trickier, you know, and you can tell immediately if someone is close to you or not, because if they're not very close and don't know you very well, they're going to slaughter your last name. That's an immediate giveaway that they don't know you closely. How about knowing Jesus well? How well do we know Jesus? I've got two stories about conversations that I had this week about two different individuals, and both of these conversations ended with these individuals having kind of pained expressions, showing a certain sort of frustration. But the nature of those expressions was quite different. The first one took place at my favorite witnessing ground, Gold's Gym. You know, this is just like a fertile field of opportunity for me, because getting out of the church office and getting into the secular environment, you know, with all the ungodly music blasting and all the people that are doing their workouts and everything, this is perfect witnessing area. So I'm constantly talking to people and wearing my witness t-shirts. As last week, I wore my alien t-shirt, you know. Some of you have seen that t-shirt on the front that says, "I am an alien." It's got a little alien head on it, you know, and people look at me and they say, "Oh, sci-fi weirdo," you know. But then when I have to stand around and show people the back of the t-shirt a lot, so I'm at the club, and instead of working out, sometimes I'm standing there while people read the back of the t-shirt, and the back of the t-shirt goes on, "I am an alien. This is not my home. I'm looking forward to a heavenly home." It's a takeoff of Hebrews 11 and other passages in the scriptures where we're called aliens and foreigners here, and we're longing for a heavenly home. And when people read that, a lot of them are like, "Oh, that's cool. That's neat." So that's my witnessing field, one of them. And so this week I was discussing with one of these trainers, young gal who's a trainer there, and who was actually working with another of our congregation members, and our member introduced her to me and that. So I invited this young gal to come to worship at our Shepherd, and it seemed to be a positive exchange. So I approached this young trainer on a different day, and I caught her and I said, "Hey," I said, come to our church. Come in and join us. And her response was, well, I'm Catholic. And I said, not a problem. I said, well, you know, when someone says they're a different denomination, oftentimes that's the put off. You know, like, I can't cross over. That would be something bad, you know. And I'm like, well, it's hard to talk to someone who's convinced that they're in the right denomination, that they need to come over. So instead, I often say, well, you know, I encourage you to be really diligent and committed to worship and get to worship and stay close to the Lord. And she says, well, I work 12 hours a day. I don't worship, but I'm a believer. And I thought, okay, I know where things are going here, you know. When you hear someone saying, well, I don't worship, but I believe, you can tell they got this real distance thing going on with God, right? And then I went to part three of the approach, and I said, well, I said, at least read the Bible, at least get into the Bible and read it and all this and that. And when I said that about reading the Bible, she made this kind of contorted face like, and I was like, it struck me. What has happened in our society? That someone can say, I'm a believer, but the thought of reading the Bible or getting into the Bible is something that's almost negative, almost something that's like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. Can you see what a spiritual disconnect this is with what God's will is for our lives? There's something really nasty about the spirit in our culture that says the Bible's something we don't want to delve into. The Bible's something that would really cause issues in my life. And I want to keep Jesus at kind of like an arm's length where it's convenient. Boy, what a scary mindset. And then I had another conversation this week with a man who was in my office, and we were talking, and he expressed a concern. And this man, over the last several years, has joined a scripture study group. And he has been growing in his faith. And he's found himself to have become a friend of Jesus, and not just an acquaintance, not just an institutional Christian who's connected with a church, but someone who's really starting to develop this love and this personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And this man was sitting in my office, and he was making a concerted expression because he was talking about his parents. And he's worried over his parents' salvation. Because now that he has come closer to Christ, he's realizing that there is a fundamental difference between having this institutional connection with a church and having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, and he is worried for them. And what we'd like to do this morning is to get you to understand that difference between institutional connection to Jesus and personal relationship with Jesus, to be a friend of Christ. And the angle we're going to talk about this morning is knowledge and ignorance. Jesus is talking to these men who have spent 3 years of intensive time with him, and he summarizes their relationship in verse 15, and he says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. One of the ways to tell how close or distant a person is from the Lord Jesus is by their knowledge of him. There are many, many people, even within churches, that have a high degree of ignorance of Christ and of the Word of God. Let me give you an example. Just give yourself a little test this morning, a couple of questions. In the Scriptures, If you were asked to turn to a particular book in the Bible, let's say you were asked to turn to the book of Leviticus, or perhaps you were asked to find the book of 1 Peter, maybe the book of Hebrews. Where would it be in the Bible? Would you be able to open that Bible and to, within a few moments, start heading toward that location in the Scriptures? Or would you have to honestly need to check a table of contents in order to get your bearings? Would you know whether this book in the Scriptures was in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Now, honestly, when I mention those phrases, Old Testament and New Testament, perhaps in the minds of some of you are saying, okay, wait a minute, Old Testament, New Testament. Would you know where to go to find the words of Jesus? If someone said, find me a quote of Jesus in the Bible, would you know that you would have to go likely to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, the four Gospels in the New Testament? Now, the reason I'm asking these questions are because these are elementary. These are basic questions. They very quickly put into perspective what might be an ignorance level on your part. If you're honest with yourself this morning, and if you find that you might have trouble with this, this might hurt to say, but you might be more of an acquaintance to Jesus than a friend of Jesus. Based on Jesus' comments here, it is not intelligence that defines being a close friend of his. It is not social status, earning income. It is not athletic prowess. It is not success in raising children, or any of many other indicators of what might make people friends, such as a shared interest in football. Jesus defines closeness as friends of him by knowledge of what he wants to share from God the Father. So you can rate your closeness and friendship to Jesus by how much you've had a desire to get to know him. The danger I fear that we have in our culture, and that it permeates many of our minds, is this idea that we want a kind of manipulative relationship with Jesus. Sort of like this girl at the health club. The goal for many individuals is to have a one-way friendship with Jesus. Jesus is supposed to be my close personal friend. Jesus is supposed to be there for me. After all, he's the Savior. That's his job. He is to be there to save me, to help me, protect me, heal me. But I don't need to be that close to him. In fact, there's something very nasty in our culture that has this attitude like we want to keep the Word of God and Jesus at arm's length so he doesn't dictate too much of our lives. But we certainly want him within reach so that we can grab his collar and pull him close when we need him. And that is the way that the Word of God is treated in many people's lives, even sadly many Christians' lives, where Jesus is within reach in case of emergency. That, I would suggest, is an abusive friendship. a manipulative friendship. Let's put it this way. Consider if someone were to treat you that way as a friend. How would you feel? Would you appreciate it if someone buddied up to you only because of what you could do for them? They didn't have an authentic interest in just spending time with you, being with you because they love thinking and talking together and spending time fellowshipping with you, but they want you for what you can provide for them. How would you feel about that friendship? Would that bother you? I think it would. It would bother me. You would wonder about the motives. Does this person really love me? Does this person really care about me? Or do they only care what they can get from me? What we're looking to do this year is to alter the relationship we may have with Jesus so that it becomes one of authentic closeness instead of this manipulation utilization scheme where we just want to get from Jesus. I know there have been many, many people in this congregation who have discovered the joy of closeness with Christ. And it is profound, including that man that sat in my office. Many of these people have faced serious, heavy-duty life challenges, but they found that when you come close to Christ, it's just like he says, you know, that take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light. And they found that Jesus wants to walk with us together. And they found that there's a tremendous satisfaction and joy and peace in becoming a sincere friend of God. And this is what God wants for all of us. I'd like to share with you another element to this discussion that Jesus had with his disciples here. And remember, the term disciple means a student, going beyond surface knowledge. Remember, delving into the Word of God. I don't believe it is possible to be a true friend of Christ versus just an acquaintance unless you commit yourself to being a student of the Word of God. Take a look at what it says here in chapter 15. Take a look at verse 5 and following now. This has been a very well-known illustration in Christianity. And you've heard this before, many times perhaps. In verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. There's a little bit of a threat there, isn't it? The threat of destruction if we don't remain in Christ. God's judgment is reality as well. But our theme this morning is not to put the fear of destruction in us. Our theme this morning is to put the hope of closeness to Christ in us. And in verse 7, look at his summary. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. He says to these guys over and over again, remain in me. Remain in me. You know, he repeats this about 6 times. Remain in me. What does he mean by that? He tells us here in verse 7. and my words remain in you. You know what that means? That means Jesus, just before he identifies friendship, what friendship is in his mind, he says the way to remain in him is to let his words be in us. That is why it is so critical to be a student of the Word. That's why it's fundamentally necessary to get past the surface of the Bible, to spend time in the meat of it, in the text of it. Now, speaking to the ignorance level, this is a phenomenally scary thing to some people. I understand this. Whenever you start in on a new endeavor, one of the biggest things holding you back and scaring you from getting started is ignorance level. It's not knowing and then being afraid that others will see how much you don't know. This is true of almost anyone that has ever started scripture study. This is one of the biggest, scariest things that will keep them from getting going. Ignorance level. We have had couples in this congregation and individuals in this congregation that could not have passed those questions that I shared with you earlier, where to find a specific book in the Bible, would not have known where to find the words of Jesus in the Bible. We have one couple in this congregation that when they started scripture study, their first time in a Bible study, there was a reference made to the Old Testament, and they said, "What is the Old Testament?" The Old Testament is the history of the Jewish people and the promise of God through Abraham in order to bring a Messiah, a Savior, to this world one day. The New Testament, the other half of the Bible, is the fulfillment of that promise and the coming of Christ in order to bring the new promise of salvation in Jesus. This couple didn't know that basic first question about the Bible, but they stuck with it. They were not shamed. They were not humiliated. They were given answers. And they continued on in being students of the Word. That was probably about 15 years ago. I would have confidence in setting those people now as teachers of a Bible class, because they have come to know God's Word well. And over time, they have become very close friends of Jesus. This can happen for you. Everyone in this congregation can have the opportunity to go from a high degree of ignorance in the Word of God to go to the point of a high degree of intimacy and knowledge of the Word of God. Let me ask you one question. Can you think of any legitimate reason why you should not have that? Can you think of any legitimate reason why you should not go from ignorance and an acquaintance relationship to Christ to one of closeness and a high degree of friendship to Christ? I can think of none. I don't know of any legitimate relation, any legitimate reason why that should not happen. Jesus was talking to a group of people here. I think it's important, once again, that we understand this, that the dynamic that Jesus sets forth is group. There is a power in group study. there is an importance in meeting together around the Word of God. He uses the illustration of the vine and the branches, a grapevine. And there is something particular in that illustration that's important because the grapes hang together in bunches. Have you ever had a delicious bottle of wine made from one grape? No. It is the group effect that produces the beauty of the wine. It is the bunch, the community of individuals that gets you the end result. So also in growing your faith, it is so much fundamentally easier to become a close friend of Jesus together as opposed to individually. We're asking you to make the life change. If you have a high degree of ignorance, ignorance does not lie. If I were to try to discuss flying airplanes with a group of aviators and pretend as though I knew intimate details of flying aircraft, my ignorance would be shown very quickly because I know very little about it. I cannot be said to be an aviator. And ignorance is what's going to keep you from sharing your faith because you don't know what to say. How can you fulfill the desire of Jesus when he says, everything that I made known, learned from my Father, I have made known to you. How can you fulfill his desire when it says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit? How can you do that if you're profoundly ignorant of the Word of God? You can't. This is the most fundamental problem that the Christian church struggles with in our society, I believe. The ignorance level of the Christian. And there is one solution to make the decision personally to go from being an acquaintance to a close friend of Jesus. I would surmise that everybody who is in Scripture studying here in this service and in this church is going, this is true. Because they have learned that profound difference. And I'll bet they also would say, it's a totally different ballgame when you come to know Jesus well. And when you share and pray and learn with other believers, it's a totally new experience and a good one. We want everyone here at Our Shepherd to have that experience. And to go from being an acquaintance to being a close friend of Christ. Jesus said, you're no longer master-slave relationship if you come to know what he says. If you make the decision to become close to Jesus and let his words dwell in you, and if you decide to become a part of that, this is what he defines as friendship. like I said, do you know any reason why, any legitimate reason why you shouldn't do that? I think you know in your heart what the answer to that is. Let today be the day that you decide that it's either Sunday morning or another service this another class this week that you come back to. Let's make a decision that we are not going to flirt with friendship of the world. You know, I want to share with you one more passage here. Take a look at this in James chapter 4. Page 1884. Page 1884, James chapter 4. James has some pretty stern words to Christians who were flirting with worldliness. Look what he says in chapter 4, verse 4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. I don't believe that there is anyone here who is intentionally choosing, I want to be a friend of the world and enemy with God. I don't believe that is the case of people sitting in this congregation. But let's ask this question. Do you flirt with friendship of the world? Do you put on the worldly music? Do you watch the worldly movies? Do you spend some time with the world, flirting with it? Why not make the decision that you will prove you want to be a friend, a close, not acquaintance, but a friend of Jesus? Instead of giving Jesus just 1 hour a week, give him two. Prove you want to get closer to Christ and you value his friendship more than any time you would give with the world. Amen.